T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I mean, I have so many ideas.
This is AJ and Dusty.
Some are simple, like take down traffic lights and eliminate the post office.
With AJ McCord.
I think this is going to be a really good bonding session. Guys love it when you can show them you're better than they are at something they love.
And Dusty Hera.
I've never taken the high road, but I tell other people to, because then there's more room for me on the low road.
AJ and Dusty on 1080.
Don't be all like, I am a guy and I like fire.
The Fan.
All right, hour number 3, AJ and Dusty with you. Let's get to it. We've been soliciting your responses on the fan text line 503-250-1080 throughout the show.
Okay.
Some of them are funny. Some of them are sad.
Really dark. We got a lot of nightmares. You can send in some dreams too, my friends.
Yeah, well, I don't think we're, after what Neil O'Shea how Neil O'Shea handled yesterday, I don't think that Rip City's in the best spot mentally right now.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you. I was not in the best spot after that press conference.
You know what was funny to see, though?
Tell me.
He was widely mocked by national media for that, too. Local reporters outside of this market who cover the NBA were like, jeez.
Yep.
I mean, it was something. And what's kind of weird is that, like, it was extreme yesterday, but it wasn't like, yeah, we didn't see that coming at all. Like, it was something that was understandable with the nature that he handles the media in the past. Like, yesterday was just the brunt of it all.
Yep.
You know?
And I think what's frustrating about this is you'd love the opportunity to talk to Neil more, right?
Yes.
Like, you'd love that opportunity. He doesn't volunteer himself other than 3 times a year. Media day, end of season, draft.
Oh.
Who knows if this year he'll make himself available at the draft, because Portland has no picks.
That is true.
But those are the only 3 times that you get a chance to talk to him. And so it was frustrating to, you know, you don't have to like it, but the questions that were asked yesterday were all valid. And I said this yesterday, I'll say it again. Good leaders, in the moment when they are pressed, take some accountability. And
yes,
they say, hey, unless you can legitimately say that you have been perfect at your job for the last 9 years, there's some accountability to be had as the general manager of a team that has been knocked out of the playoffs 4 of the last 5 years in the first round.
Yep.
Instead, he threw Terry Stotts under the bus, ran it back over him, and then did it again.
You know what he tried to slip in there at one point, which as I was reading a piece by John Hollinger today, he slipped in the, you know, it was something along the lines of, you know how much I admire Terry Stotts. It's like, you just drove a bus over him for 30 minutes, you know?
Right. And that was the part that irritated me yesterday, and why I understand why Portland fans and the national media are taking sort of this hardline stance about that press conference is you are the leader. You are the general manager. And so you can say that this time, which we talked about yesterday, how that's not entirely accurate, this time, the roster construction was not the reason that the Blazers got knocked out in the first round. But you can't say that over the four of the last 5 years that roster construction hasn't been a problem, because you've done some things in the last 4 or 5 years, right? Like a few of them, but a few of them. And so that's what I think made yesterday stand out so much, is there was just no accountability whatsoever. So I understand why there's a lot of nightmare scenarios coming into our text line, but feel free to send us some dreams as well.
You know what? We got some dreams.
Okay. I'm dreaming.
All right, this text says, the realistic dream would be CJ and Derek Jones Jr. for Pascal Siakam. Raptors can't do anything without a good two guard, and we could thrive with Siakam. Pascal Siakam, $30 million. Mm. So he is on a big-time deal, just like CJ McCollum is. In fact, you know, the number this next year for Pascal Siakam is $33 million for the 2021-2022 season. That is more than what CJ McCollum is going to be paid. He's at 30.8, but that one would work out
financially.
Yeah, because you got to match contracts dollar for dollar. But that, like, isn't it sad that the realistic dreams are the dreams of Portland? It's like, yeah, I guess we're gonna have to settle, because like I look at it, when I look at a dream, it is my dream scenario actually came in earlier. It says dream: Kawhi forces himself out of LA, where you trade him for CJ and Norm stays. Nightmare: we run it back, and that nightmare is the worst.
I see dead people.
Just run it back. Isn't that the worst? Like the worst case scenario is, we're gonna do it again.
I don't think that's the worst case scenario.
Well, and what kind of friggin' delusion do you have that Kawhi Leonard's coming to Portland?
Well, the delusional part of that is that Kawhi Leonard would force his way out of LA.
Right. Get me out of here so I can go to Portland.
Well, he loves Los Angeles. I could see him forcing, I mean, it all depends, I think, on how this series goes, but or this postseason wraps up, but I could see maybe him deciding that Paul George isn't the super, like, that seems more realistic, that he stays in LA and they break up that duo.
Yeah, that guy.
But we're dreaming.
Yeah.
We're dreaming.
I mean, that guy doesn't care about anything other than playing in LA. I'm convinced of that. Like, he just kind of did all these, like, these moves to just get himself to LA, and now he just does not care what happens.
Yeah.
Like, he plays hard and he's a physical freak, but I think he could care less about winning a title. He's just like, whatever. I'm in LA now. This is what I literally want. That's it.
503-250-1080. What is your dream scenario, AJ McCord?
Realistic dream, unrealistic?
No, unrealistic.
Okay.
What is the dream scenario? Because mine is Kawhi for CJ, you retain Norm, you go out, and you get Chauncey Billups, because that is the guy that Damian Lillard wants. Like, that is, I think, that would be the perfect offseason for the Blazers.
I would say the dream is that somehow, some way, someone convinces the Milwaukee Bucks that their best option is to blow it up, and Giannis comes to play. There you go. I believe you can get me. I think Giannis and Dame are two birds of a feather in their humility. In their play, like in their leadership sort of style, I think they would gel really well. There you go. That's the dream. I don't really, you'd have to ship everyone except Damian Lillard over to Milwaukee in order to make it happen. But that's the dream.
What's the nightmare for you?
I think the nightmare is run it back, because Damian Lillard deserves better.
Mm.
Damian Lillard deserves better than to be a first round exit again. He deserves better than to have a general manager who won't take accountability for his role in the last 9 years and how they have played out.
Wait, is that a bad one or a good one?
That's bad.
Oh, he's never going to give you up, though. Never going to let you down.
No, dude.
Or desert you.
She's getting Rickrolled right now.
There you go.
That's a bad one.
That's the nightmare.
Roll it back.
I don't love it. They've got to do something where their second unit doesn't just absolutely disappear defensively. And I'm not just talking about that.
No. That's not. But, hold on. Roster construction, though. Right, that wasn't the problem.
Oh, sorry. You're right. I missed the fact that Enes Kanter and Carmelo Anthony are two defensive lockdown players.
Known for their defense.
We've got to bifurcate those two things.
My fault.
Oh, wait. 503-250-1080. Wow, this is aggressive. Dream. Noel Shea gets fired today. CJ gets traded for three quality backups. Whoa. Clips get knocked out of this round, and Kawhi joins the team with Norm signing back. CJ getting traded for three quality backups and Kawhi somehow finding his way here would very unlikely to happen because of the cap situation.
But we're dreaming. With Norm. We're dreaming. It's fine.
League minimum. Kawhi here on the league minimum. I like that. Actually, I like where this guy's going here.
I like to believe.
Oh, that's good.
There's a dream, isn't it?
It is a dream. That's
there
a good
you go.
One. Will Darklands, what is your dream and nightmare scenarios for the Portland Trailblazers?
I would say dream-wise, and I'm trying to be realistic, in a dream. Mm-hmm. If I could dream a dream, CJ for Karl-Anthony Towns straight up, and then we don't have to give anything else up, and we keep the lineup as it is. And then we just go out and find a two, or we just play Norman Powell at two. Who cares?
Well, yeah, that is...
Yeah. Right?
A natural position. Yeah.
Well, I guess in my dream, realistic again, Norman Powell probably isn't there because he wants more money.
Well, but keep it in the dream.
Okay. So Norman Powell's there.
Okay.
My worst nightmare, I would have to say, is that Neil Olshey continues being Neil Olshey for this offseason. And under the covers of the media landscape, Damian Lillard is quietly working out a move to leave.
Yep. Very
remember. Remember, that's not part of our nightmares
well,
we have right
here. But
he
did say, like, there was enough caveats in that he sort of avoided directly going against your directive.
That is a nightmare, though. It literally just sneaks up on you and you didn't know. Because that's kind of how I would think Dame would want to do it. He would not want to just have these little things out in the media and then doing these interviews and then blah, 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 blah. It would be more like working behind the scenes to do it and then finally like writing a letter to Portland and being like, I'm sorry, I tried as hard as I could. It's just not an attainable situation anymore. I'm out.
That would be a pretty big nightmare.
Enjoy Julius Randle.
And so in this nightmare, he goes to the Knicks.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. And a ham sandwich.
Oh my God.
wait, do you have any of your... I got one right here. Here's one that is says CJ for Porzingis is both a nightmare and a small dream.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
That's an interesting one, and one that deserves a little bit of breakdown, because if you don't know what's happening with Kristaps Porzingis in Dallas, it isn't pretty right now with the Dallas Mavericks. And I was actually asked, Sprague and I got tweeted by a listener last night asking, what do you think about Porzingis? And I got thoughts on Kristaps Porzingis.
Okay.
Because theory and execution are two completely different things here.
That's fair.
AJ and Dusty on the Fan and the Odyssey app. All right, last night, P1, Tyler Kirkchim tweeted at Sprague and I, what did he say? Oh, what would you all think about a CJ for Porzingis swap, then re-sign Norm? Dame, Norm, Rocco, Collins, Porzingis, then maybe sign a power forward in the offseason? Now, CJ for Porzingis, I mean, he's leaving out Nurk, who would be in that lineup, because that, it's only a matter of time until his contract becomes guaranteed.
Mm.
Like, it will become guaranteed.
Right.
So, like, that's got to be a part of it. So, like, if you're talking, though, sliding Porzingis over to the four, though, and then you would have Dame, Norm, Rocco, Porzingis in Nurk, that would be pretty fun to watch. But I've got, like, it is the Portland in me. Like, a 7-footer with injury history Dear Lord.
The thing, the stuff of nightmares.
That is terrifying. Also, he hasn't been the best teammate lately, and like, there's already reports coming out of Dallas that he and Luka don't get along, mm-hmm. which isn't like a huge issue, but he's icy towards teammates, and he always is wanting that bigger role and needing that bigger role. And if there is one thing that like I totally respect about CJ McCollum is that he's always been okay to be number two here, mm-hmm. because he's paid like a number one though, you know,
valid,
and that would be okay. And Porzingis is a little bit reluctant to take that secondary role, which is scary.
But then, yeah, coming to Portland, I don't know that he... I don't know about that. I don't know if he then comes to Portland and is okay with his role here.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. That would be the... that's a scary part about bringing a guy like him
right
into here.
And to be... I don't know... I don't know Luka's reputation as a teammate or as a leader or anything like that, but we know Dame's.
Mm-hmm.
We know that Dame is a fantastic leader and that regardless of your role, he does a good job of making every single player in the locker room feel important, mm-hmm. and know their importance to this team.
Yeah, that's a good point about it. I don't worry. And, you know, Will, you made the case the other day for Paul George and making a run at Paul George.
Oh, I did?
Yeah.
I think you just threw it out there. I wouldn't.
Yeah,
I don't know if you made.
No,
it.
I believe
well,
it.
You didn't. You didn't make the case, but sure. I said, you know, the whole playoff P, and just his disappearing act that he has in the postseason at times. You made the case for Paul George and what he was doing in Indiana, and how effective he was in Indiana in the playoffs, and when he was the guy. And the more that I've like, anytime you think about it, you have to not put it in the parameters of where they're at. Or where maybe their most recent stop has been, but who is here, right? Yeah. And who is here to kind of level the waters? And that's been Lillard throughout his career, and there has not been a player. Have we had somebody come through Portland? Because I've thought about it. I've tried to look it up. I can't think of anybody who has left Portland and been like, that sucked playing with Lillard.
I can't think of a single.
I mean, not even in those terms. Like the harshest criticism of him, I haven't seen it. And that's
was Aaron Aflalo pissed off? I don't know. Thinking.
Yeah, but no, that would be a good one to look at. I mean,
I don't know if he was so pissed at Dame, probably just the situation.
Do we remember when Aaron Aflalo trade happened and didn't he say he was so excited he'd ride his bike to Portland from Denver? Something like that.
Oh, I think like, you're right.
He's going to be the difference. He understands bike culture. You know, it was like a whole big deal about that.
Yeah, I point with Paul George just to the fact that that guy has, first of all, number one, he's not a leader, which is great because if we got him, then he wouldn't really have any of those thoughts. But two, he's had horrible influence. He has. Mm. He had to play with Russell Westbrook, which is awful. He's a great player. I understand that. But Russell Westbrook's not a leader either. And he takes everything personally and makes it all about him. Then he plays with Kawhi Leonard, Kawhi Leonard's not a leader either. He's a physical freak who's one of the top five players in the league that does not know how to communicate with teammates. That's it.
Teammates?
He does not. Kyle Lowry led the first. Yeah, I mean, Kyle Lowry led that Toronto team. Tim Duncan and everybody led that Spurs team. Once Tim Duncan and all them left, that team was aimless, and they couldn't get anywhere back close to the playoffs.
Well, Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili too. Yeah. I mean, that was a three-headed monster there, and they had a dominant leader in their coach, Greg Popovich.
So again, you can get Paul George here, and I'll bet you anything he'll go under Dame's, you know, under Dame's definition of what the culture is. You know,
totally. That would be a very interesting one, I think, for Portland to, like, 4 years ago or 2 years ago, have celebrated so massively that shot over him, and then to have him come. That was just, I don't know, that'd be interesting.
A lot of mental gymnastics
of
fans sitting there and trying to figure out how they can come to terms with not yelling, bad shot, every time he steps on the floor.
And in the... hallway, you know, back when we could go into the Moda Center and like in the locker room, in the hallway there's a great photo, fantastic photo of Lillard taking that shot over Paul George, So do they take it down?
Yeah. Probably.
No, you have him sign it.
No.
No, you have a sense of humor about it. You know, you're here now.
There would be
of OKC.
Yeah.
Sign the damn picture.
It would just be there would be some mental gymnastics involved in like everything about that.
Oh, Kawhi Leonard is mine though. My nightmare scenario is Mike D'Antoni.
Mm. Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
It's not that bad.
Oh, it is. Like this is what would happen here is that you would get a guy who's criticized for not having an emphasis on defense and in both ends of the floor. And this all goes back to the Woj tweet, which that was the one name that I said, this just does not make sense at all. Like you can understand Juwan Howard or even Jeff Van Gundy, but Mike D'Antoni, I was like, I don't get this because he is all gas, no breaks. And admittedly so.
But according to Neil's,
list that he doesn't have until he tells you he has a list.
Or his parameters, coach with experience.
Right, which is why like the Juwan Howard one is a little more interesting to me.
I think the only thing that would encourage me about a D'Antoni coach would be that he would advocate very hard, I believe, with Neil Olshey to let me get my guys in here. Like, he would say yes, but he'd go, you need to pursue incredibly hard the guys I want because I run a scheme, it's very particular, and I need certain guys to get it done. Now, would the defense get better? No, probably not. But you would also probably have a more efficient offense because, honestly, the type of offense that Terry Stotts was running with this team at times just kind of seemed like if Damian Lillard wasn't running the point, if he was off the ball or C.J. McCollum was running it, I couldn't make heads or tails of what was going on. It was either CJ McCollum ISOing or a pick and roll with Nurk or just let's run down the floor and shoot. I don't know.
503-250-1080. My nightmare scenario involves either of the Ball brothers coming on board and his dad becomes a regular in Portland.
Who are you? Your worst nightmare.
LeVar Ball in Portland would be
be awesome.
You know what? He has toned it down so much. You don't hear from him anymore.
It's very true.
I mean, he has, I don't know if he's learned his lesson, but I think it was a humbling experience when Lonzo came in and then LiAngelo had his flop at UCLA and with the Lakers and then the Big Baller Brand collapsing. He's letting LaMelo Ball have the best opportunity at success, which is him getting out of the way.
Yep. And look at what's happening.
He's pretty good.
Before he was hurt, before he got hurt, he was
rookie of the year.
Yeah. But that, I don't know who else would have been. But that would be baffling if Melo comes back and then you have LaMelo Ball. I can't. I could not.
Are we going to get rid of Melo, by the way?
Well, at $1 million, he was worth it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's your leading scorer off the bench. If you run, hey, Melo, if you're going to come back for $1 million, sure, come on back. Mm-hmm. We'll gladly have you. I mean,
yes.
Best player off the bench this year.
Yeah, that's not saying a lot, though.
No, but it.
Roster wasn't the issue.
That's good. Okay. That's good. I'm glad that we're making that like our earmark for everything where it's like you could point out something bad for the team. In fact, I would like it if on this show we would just use that for anything that is just clearly wrong in that it's just, the roster's not the issue. Yeah.
Well, it's not.
The roster's not the issue.
Yeah.
So.
How about this one? This is a good one.
It's all in me.
The dream of young Sabas for CJ McCollum. Bring him home.
There you go.
See, we were talking about this earlier with Mike James. Like, people be like, you know, Domantas Sabonis, technically born in Portland. From Portland, we'll claim him.
Yep.
Yet Mike James for the Brooklyn Nets, born and raised. It's like, nah. Nobody's really talking about him. All right, 503-250-1080. More of your nightmare and dream scenarios for the Portland Trailblazers. And we got password probs.
Password probs.
Yeah.
Oh.
Here's Will.
Okay.
Are getting a lot of great nightmares and dreams scenarios for the Portland Trail Blazers fan base. Yeah. Nightmare scenario.
I see dead people.
Is Neil O'Shea staying on long term as the GM? The run it back and point fingers plan. That seems to be a common one that has been coming through on the fan text line.
Yes. Yeah. I think people are ready to move forward. In more than just a new head coach.
Well, one texter's not.
Well, I'm not entirely convinced that that's not.
Neil on his burner. We got one staunch defender of Neil O'Shea, which, hey, okay.
Totally fine.
Go ahead. That's fine. See it one way, and a million other people will see another. What is the old adage? If one finger points your way, you're going to see five more pointing right back at you. And that's what happened yesterday.
Yep. And again, the takeaway from that press conference for me was just no accountability whatsoever.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody expects. Being a GM in a small market is a very hard job. A smaller market is a very hard job. I get that. I understand that. But I think not acknowledging that there were some spots that he could have been better, maybe there were misses that he had, that's where you lost a lot of it. And then you had the sort of snarkiness that came along with it in saying, no, that's not, I didn't hear what Nurk said. What did he say? And then... Someone paraphrases pretty much exactly what Nurk says. And then he says, well, that's not what Nurk said. Well, you just said you didn't watch it. So how do you know? Okay. So that kind of double talk was frustrating.
Know. Yeah, it was. It was very. P1 Tyler says, what about bringing in DeMar DeRozan in free agency, letting Norm ride off into the sunset, then make a play for Montrezl Harrell?
You mean B minus CJ McCollum?
You could also send CJ and another player to the Bucks for... Middleton. Your lineup would be Dame, DeMar, Middleton, Harrell, Collins, Nurk. That's great if you could lure DeMar DeRozan here in free agency. But again, that was another part you brought up yesterday. The excuse of nobody wants to, like, it's really hard to get free agents here.
Which, you know, is I understand. His job. Yeah, I understand that it is. I understand that it's not necessarily the easiest market to draw free agents to. That said, you don't want to hear that from the guy whose job it is to sell free agents on coming to Portland.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Even in that scenario of explaining to me, again, explaining away why things haven't happened instead of taking accountability for, well, we weren't willing to part with some of the pieces that were necessary to draw somebody to Portland or whatever it was. I mean, yeah. Yes.
I'm with you.
I appreciate that.
I'm with her. All right, here we go. You've got questions that need to be answered here. Keep them coming
important.
In at 503-250-1080. I want to know all of your dreams and nightmares, but we also need advice from the IT world on this one.
Why do we have to have a new password every 30 seconds?
I don't understand it either.
Why do we have to do that? If I came up with a strong password, which you told me I did because it said strong password.
Yeah.
When I filled it out, why do I have to come up with another one?
This is an IT question that needs to be answered right now.
And it's really driving me crazy because my memory's not great and you're not supposed to write down passwords.
Mm-hmm.
So now what?
Well, they have like a password locker thing on your phone. You have one of those.
Yeah, I have that. Yeah.
So put them in there.
But then you have to update it every 3 seconds.
Yeah,
with
I know.
A new password.
And this is what I am so with you on what you just said is that you just told me when I put this in, it's a strong password. Therefore, why every 3 months do I have to change it? And that is something that I would love IT world to explain because this happens all the time. It's like, well, I'm okay with whatever. Like, And by the way, if you want to see what's in my emails, it ain't going to be anything in there, bro.
So are you speaking from a work perspective?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Go. So here's the reason.
Ooh, Darkens has answers.
Oh. I do have an answer for you. And in fact, I just listened to a...
Top five answers on the board. Survey says...
A radio piece about this, of why. And there's something recent that is very relevant to the answer, which is ransomware. And the reason being is because if you do not change your password enough, you are also leaving yourself vulnerable to leaving digital traces of your information across not only the internet, but the company's server. And so if your password is old enough, it just takes one hacker to find out what it is, get into the system, and then create ransomware that will hold people up. If you change it more often, it creates more variance in the code so that it's not as easy to get in there.
I'll tell you this much. Mm-hmm. Because, and thank you for the explanation.
I mean, that makes sense. It doesn't irritate me any less.
Yes, I agree. If it's the personal thing of like it's your Facebook account or whatever and then you have to change the path, that's stupid because it's your own information. Who cares? But if it's a company, they make you change it because of that. They don't want ransomware hackers to get in and hold people ransom.
All right. I got this one, though. Like AJ was saying, the more I have to change my password, the more predictable I am being because I will forget them.
Yes.
Like, honestly, like, yep. my passwords have become far more predictable because the fact that I'm like, oh, God, well, okay, I'm just going to change one number on it now.
Go
or
up
whatever.
To the next one, or yeah. Add another symbol or.
You know?
Yeah.
It's becoming more. I've made it easier on myself. I used to have really tough ones, but now it's like, probably guess.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm glad we figured that out. Thanks, yeah. Will.
Appreciate you.
You're Thanks. Welcome.
I will try not to be as irritated.
A man of many hats around here.
I like to make your password too weak. So when you forget your password, it'll say your password is too weak. LOL. That's a good one. I like that.
That is really good.
I'm definitely not going to use it, though.
Huh.
Because I wouldn't say my password on radio.
Or you can just pick a point in the alphabet to start backwards from and keep adding to it.
Hey, this is an unfair text message. It says, well, you guys did get hacked once and it brought the radio station to its knees. Well, we didn't do that. And... How dare you?
Here.
It was three times that happened.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. And it caused us to use an archaic form of podcasting shows, which was one dude would just run into the other studio across the hall and start recording at certain segments.
Oh, geez.
Instead of, grabbing it all at once.
You know, we called that as the good old days, buddy.
And actually, there was a point where you just took an old recorder from the 1991 movie Home Alone, and we just held it up to the speaker.
Wow.
And then we'd take a tape cassette and put it in there and then put it on the computer, and then that was the process.
Like I understand. Like I said, I understand the need for it. It doesn't make me any less irritated that every 3 months.
I was promised retinal scanners by now.
That's what you were promised that you're so upset about?
Movies told me they'd be readily
about
available.
Flying cars.
Like, you say, my face can unlock my iPhone. Why can't my face unlock everything else I got here?
Did you say rectal scanners?
Yes. Rectal scanners. Yes. Yes. That's exactly what I said.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah,
retinal.
No.
I got it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I laughed right through my brown eyes joke. I just laughed myself right through it.
Dang it.
Sorry.
I bet it would have been a good brown eyes
joke. Oh, man. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. MVP announced next on The Fan. We have an MVP in the NBA.
Does this help? First round series?
Nope. According to Shams, Nikola Jokic, MVP.
He deserves it. I said that.
I'm stunned.
I said that a while ago. I think Nikola Jokic, what he has done, how he kept Denver afloat when Jamal Murray went out, and the fact that he played in all 72 games and is a center who can also facilitate so, or is a big man who can also facilitate so well. I just find him incredibly impressive. I think he's done a ton for the game of basketball, and there's no doubt that he was the most valuable player to his team this entire year.
Yes. And he goes down as the least athletic looking MVP since Tim Duncan. Is that what we're going to go with? Since Tim Duncan? Because the big fundamental, I mean, he just, everything he did, but like, Duncan was at least muscular. Mm-hmm. Like he was like there was some definition in the arms there. I don't understand Nikola Jokic when I see him move, because he moves like a damn ballerina out on the basketball court, and his vision is incredible. His shot is so quick, but it doesn't look quick.
Right.
Everything about him is just like an enigma, you know? Right. You don't get how it is happening, or you can't explain it at all. He is one of the most impressive basketball players that I have seen, and he is deserving of it because his skill set is insane.
It is. It is.
Makes me wish that the Blazers had Sabas in his prime, you know, because his ability to pass, his ability to shoot, and obviously his prowess on the block was incredible.
Would you consider him the, because I'm doing what you're doing right now, Dusty. I'm looking at the list all time.
Yeah.
It's really hard for me not to make the case that he's probably the least talented MVP in the last several years.
Least talented?
Yeah.
Dude,
go down that list.
Well, Giannis, Harden, Westbrook, Curry, Durant, James, Rose, Bryant, Nowitzki, Nash, Garnett, Duncan, Iverson will take you back 20 years. I think he is extremely talented.
I think
what makes Nikola Jokic so different than any of those guys is his diverse skill set, and which would make him more talented than a guy like Giannis Antetokounmpo, because we're seeing Giannis cannot shoot from beyond the arc.
Okay.
In his ability to pass and create for his teammates his size, I think are make him one of the more talented MVPs that we've seen. On his skill set, I think, is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible.
I agree.
But you just don't understand it because it doesn't look like when LeBron does things or when Kobe did things or any of these guys those guys were twitchy and smooth, and you just went, oh my gosh, like how can that be at the same time? With Jokic, you're like, that's the way my dad used to beat the hell out of me when I was playing. Like it's really fundamental, but unlike Tim Duncan, it's away from the basket. It's crazy.
Well, it's unlike any other center
who's
won MVP. And that's what I think makes it so unique, and what makes him so valuable is that's not the reason Shaq won it. You know, like doing what Jokic did this year. I think it's incredibly impressive. I think it's absolutely who it should have gone to this year, especially when you take into consideration he played in every single game.
I know.
Every single one.
For today, that's rare. Yes.
Yes. What are we going to poo-poo on that? What are we poo-pooing?
No, I just think that's kind of, you know, because I've heard that a lot in the media, that's like a really, that's a thing people point to for like a reason, one of the bigger reasons of why he should have won the MVP. Because I think generally there's a feeling among everyone that's like, yes, he should have won the MVP, but it was kind of a weird mixed field.
Right, but this year in particular, right, you had people who got injured because of how late they stayed in the bubble.
Yeah.
Denver was in the bubble pretty darn late.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And Jokic did everything he needed to do to stay healthy in the offseason, to come into camp prepared, and still played 72 games. I think it's impressive.
Yeah. Yeah. And as Deal says, Joker looks like he should play like Giannis, and Giannis looks like he should play like Joker. Good point. Duality. All right, that's it. We got to hand it over to primetime. Isaac Ropp, Jason Sukanik. 4 hours of breaking down the MVP, Nikola Jokic. Nobody saw it coming. Nobody saw it coming. I doubt they even talk about it today. All right, that'll do it for us from noon to three. We'll see you on a Wednesday. Have a great Tuesday. AJ and Dusty on the Fan. Primetime is next.
Oh, that's good.
That is a dream, isn't it?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.